My name is Cindy Dooling, and I'm a colleague of Max at Pima Community College. But just a little, we're colleagues. But a little bit about Mac. He started with Pima College a little over 3.5 years ago after a very distinguished career with the United States Air Force, as I'm sure you're all aware now. Whoa. He is our...
Where's my brother?
Another one? All right.
There you go, Martin.
He is a director of our... started off as our director of technical services. As you can see now, he's now our assistant vice chancellor in an acting role, but... We're very excited that he's joined us in that level as well. In typical Mac fashion, though, I'm sure you've read what he's done in his innovation in leading some improvements in our data center. But in addition to that, typical Mac fashion, he jumps right in as best as only Mac can do, both feet, without asking questions. What can I do to improve Pima Community College and get involved? So he joined areas where he could lend his expertise or learn the most from those who were already on these types of committees. In addition to that, he's passionate about his personal and professional development, and he shares that passion with everyone that he has encountered, and particularly everyone in our IT, campus IT and our district IT. With that, Mac is always trying to encourage everyone to rise to our own star level potential. With that, Keith McIntosh, Mac, our very first EDUCAUSE recipient of the Rising Star Award.
Well, okay, so the way this is set up, I have to stay at the podium, kind of. So most of you guys who know me, I like to roam, so I'll roam from here and I'll roam back, okay? First, I'm really shocked to see so many people come in to want to hear what I have to say, but I really appreciate you taking time out of your afternoon to spend about the next 45 minutes to listen to me to talk about my journey so far. And I also welcome those people that are online. I thank you for tuning in as well. The way this is going to go, I'm going to talk about, EDUCAUSE asked me to share a little bit about my story since I came into higher ed. Feel free, as I start to go through this, if you have questions, I've heard some really interesting comments and questions as I walk through the crowd. I appreciate that. Stop me, because I want this to be something that works for you. Whatever I can pass to you about what I've done, I don't think I've done anything that was rocket science, but I'd like to share it with you, okay? We're going to divide this into kind of two groups. I look at it, those who are aspiring to be leaders, and we're going to talk about those who are already residing leaders, those who are sitting leadership people. And I'm going to have three themes for each group, okay? And as always, we have some obligatory slides. I work at Pima Community College, as Cindy mentioned. We're located in southwest United States in Arizona, in Pima County, in Tucson. Our city is about 1 million inhabitants. We're a fairly large community college. As you can see, I think our latest statistics, we're the eighth largest community college district in the United States. I feel very fortunate to left the military in 2008 to come to an organization of such size and stature and opportunity. That had a lot to do with where I'm at today, okay? A little bit about me. I spent 24 and a half years as a communications and information technology professional. I spent 24 years retired as a senior master sergeant. I'm an enlisted guy, proud of that. And in 2008, I was very fortunate to get picked up by Pima Community College. As a matter of fact, the reason why I'm even at Pima is because my lovely wife, who's here with me today in the front row, Penny, found the job announcement and said, you can do this. And what's really funny about this, she doesn't know anything about IT. I love her, but she doesn't. So when she gave me the job announcement, I was like, okay. But I looked at it and I said, you know what? That's a home run. I can do that. And I did, and I've been fortunate to have been picked up there. I started in March of 2008. I was a director of technical services. I had a staff of about 15. I have to tell you guys, I have a really sharp staff. I was going to say something like K and A, but I have a really sharp staff. And I was thinking, that's probably not a good idea. And that helps. And I was fortunate to have a really good peer group. Cindy and I are both fortunate to have had an opportunity to move up into our leadership roles that we're in now. But she was a peer of mine. And I, not knowing a lot about higher ed, had to rely heavily on my peers to teach me about what the ropes were in higher ed in general, and specifically how Pima Community College works. So that helped. Great staff, great peers, and I really had a great boss. And I'm sad to see that he's gone, but I'm having a good time under my new leadership. But he gave me a lot of opportunity. And if you guys go back to what Seth Godin said in the initial announcement of talking about being an artist and being innovative, my former boss allowed me to do things with the possibility of failure happening, but gave me a lot of top cover, so I was able to grow and rise quickly. Okay? Any questions? Stop me. Okay? Please, I want this to be a dialogue. I want everybody to get something out of it. I've put a few things up to talk about my journey, some of the things that I've done, and I'm really one that my family raised us to be very service-oriented, so you get involved. My old man, who was also in the service, he passed away last year. He retired as a chief master sergeant, the highest enlisted rank you can get. Strongly embedded service into our family and our culture. So the way I would kind of surmise it, I had many lectures as a young man, but the way I would surmise what my father used to tell me was, get involved beyond what you're called to do. There's a lot of people who think there's a quick road to leadership. There's a lot of people that think that, you know, if I just do my job well, I should rise. And I believe that you should do your job. That's a de facto. That's why you got hired, to do your job well. But what are you doing to help other people do their job well? What are you doing to help grow that organization? Those are the things you should do. Get involved beyond what you're asked to do at your current role. And, like, for example, for me, you'll see I'm heavily involved in EDUCAUSE. But I didn't do that to get the award, because when I was doing it, there was no award out there. I get so much from going to these events and meeting all the other people and getting involved. I learned so much about higher ed. It put me on a fast path. So I highly encourage you to take an opportunity to look into that. So I'm going to talk about aspiring leaders first. This is Mac's definition. Okay. These are the things I'm going to talk about. And really, that's it in a nutshell. I'm done. No, seriously, okay. We'll talk a little bit more about it. And this is where I hope I get some questions from you guys, okay? Start with completing a self-assessment. So I started in March of 2008. And as a person, one advantage I had of being in the Air Force, I had a lot of years of military training. And they grow professionals from day one. They grow leadership from day one. And they give us exposure to many great things, as you can probably tell when you see about the young men and women that go across the pond to do things. We're exposed and given a lot of opportunities. So when I came to Pima, I don't think I was, this might be the only time I might tout my, I'm not the average guy who's coming into a leadership role. I had a lot of leadership experience. I didn't have any higher education experience. So in that aspect, I saw myself as an aspiring leader in higher education. And one of the first things I did was take an assessment of where I was at. What do I know? What do I not know? What do I need to do? Some of the things you can do is ask yourself questions. I'm really talking to those. How many here are aspiring leaders? Let me ask that question. So you want to become a leader. Okay, so I'm really talking to you guys, and I can't believe how dry my mouth is getting. So some questions that you can ask yourself is, what do you really have to ask? You have to really soul search, and I'm really big on this, asking those critical questions of yourself. What am I good at? What am I not good at? What do I not know, and what do I really, really need to know? That's your beginning, doing a self-assessment of where you are. Now, you can ask yourself iterative questions. You can ask other people around, you know, that are peers, trusted allies, or senior leaders to say, help me out. What do I need to work on? Other tools, this one here I found recently, the Center for Creative Leadership Assessment Suite allows you to do kind of a 360 type questionnaire. You can do this online. This does have a cost associated. I couldn't find any free tools. I throw up there, I'm sure many of you have heard of the Myers-Briggs type indicator. Any questions so far? Yes.
So what, if anything, did you learn out of that that surprised you? Can you reflect on that?
Well, here's a great question. So here we are. So I was very fortunate when I got in and I had this conversation dialogue with my boss, Kirk Kelly, and I said, hey, look, I aspire to be X one day. And what do I need to do in higher ed to get from where I'm at to X one day? And we talked about all kind of professional development opportunities, and so I went out and scoured, and I found the CIO Executive Council had a Leadership Pathways Development Program. CIO.com, many of you probably may have heard of that, where they have a special program to help train leaders to become CIOs. So I spoke to him in about I started in March of 08. I spoke to him about September saying, hey, look, I think I want to do this next year. Do you mind doing that? It's going to be a cost to the college, but I think it would be beneficial for me and it would be beneficial to college, and I'll try to share what I know with everybody else. So I did. One of the first things, and I'm getting to your question, one of the first things that you do when you go into that program is you have a future state CIO assessment tool. And this is a really in-depth tool. There's a public tool that any of you can go over access right now. The program tool, which is private, which is much more robust, talks about these 9 key areas for CIOs, or really for C-suite executives, CEOs, CFOs, and CIOs in particular. They've done a survey in person of over 25,000 C-type executives, so they based this information on that, and I've been rated based on those criteria. You can see my score up here. This is in June of 2009. I'm in the red. My peers who rated me, there were 16 peers, colleagues, subordinates, and superiors who rated me, to include campus presidents. And then the average composite score is there in yellow. And what I've put up there are 4 dots talking about result orientation, market knowledge, and external customer focus and commercial orientation. I won't bore you with all the details, but that was where an excellent CIO rated. So right there, I think all of you guys can kind of see, well, I know I don't measure up to what the best CIOs in the country do. So right there, that helped me put a focus on where I need to put my professional development. Does that make sense? Okay. So this is what one man has tried to do. Did I answer your question, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions before I move on? Now, in addition, I have actually enrolled and completed the EDUCALS Leadership Institute, and I highly encourage you guys to get involved with the professional development programs within EDUCALS. I've learned a great deal there as well. I'm not just tooting their horn because we're at an EDUCALS conference. It's really been a great, fantastic ride, and I look forward to doing other things with EDUCALS and going to further professional development opportunities. Second point, create a plan. Now, those of us in the room who know me, my wife, know that I'm a very goal-oriented guy. I'm a very strategic planning type of guy, and you know most of us have heard of strategic plans for an organization, right? I don't know if any of you got to see my interview this afternoon. It was only on for like 12 minutes, but one of the things I talked about in my interview was just as organizations have a strategic plan, you should have your own personal action plan. Now that you've done your assessment of where you are and you know where your deficiencies are and what you need to work on, write it down. Put it on a paper. Lay it out. What do I want to get done in year 1, year 2, year 3, year 4, year 5? It's really that simple. Now the hard part is going to be the third point I talk about, but work your plan. Create a plan and then work your plan. What are some things you guys think should be in your plan? This is audience participation time.
Formal education.
Good point.
Building a network.
Anybody else?
Doing stuff.
I don't know if was that helpful? Yeah, but it is doing stuff beyond what you're, you know. First and foremost, and that's another lesson I learned from my father, too. In your primary role, get results. Do a really bang-up job on your primary results. Now, I think I'm fortunate to have I'm blessed to have a really good leadership team, good peers, good subordinates. So I firmly believe, and it's just my personal belief, that if you do a really bang-up job and go well beyond what you're called to do, when you ask for opportunities for yourself personally, your boss is going to be more apt to say, heck yeah. Because I know I'm going to get something from that investment. But if you're a guy that comes in or a guy that comes in at 7 and punches out at 4 and you want to get more, even myself, I'm going to have to tell you, not really. So that's the hard, direct truth coming from Mac. I hope that's okay. What else? A couple other things that I think you should have in your plan are, make sure, I think coming to the conference, but go to the professional development opportunities like the Leadership Institute and the Management Institute. Those were huge for me. That was my big first foray to get a wider picture beyond Pima Community College. I met so many other people that did different things, and I still keep in contact with many of them. One of them sitting right there, Marty. I didn't meet him at an EDUCALS Institute, but I met him at an EDUCALS conference, and we stayed in contact, and we actually collaborate on some events outside of this, and we stay in touch. And those relationships helped me broaden my network, going back to what the gentleman said in the back. Okay. Any other questions about that? The last part was work your plan, and it's really as simple as what I said, work your plan. Here's some things that I have, and I haven't shared this with anybody. I usually share this stuff with my wife, and she gets bored to tears hearing it, but I believe that you have to have goals, at least for me, I have to have goals in front of me to make me move forward. I admit I'm kind of lazy in nature, but I know if I put some goals out there, say I want to do this, and then I share my goals with people, I kind of get held accountable to move forward. So these are my high-reaching goals, the things I'd like to do. And each one of these, I've kind of mapped out on paper right now what I'm going to need to do to become a deputy CIO or CIO one day. Kind of mapped out how I'm going to make a professional development plan for all IT staff at Pima Community College. I'm trying to reach out and speak to people about getting on more committees. I spoke to, where is she, Teddy Diggs this afternoon. Where's Teddy? Is she in the room? I said, I want to try to write a higher ed article. So I've already started that conversation. Stuff like that. Any questions about this? Anything that's on my plan? Yes, sir. You know, I don't, you know, it's a, anybody know about P90X? Everybody know Tony Horton? You know what he says in there? What's his one statement about working out?
Do your best and forget the rest.
Amen, sister, right there. Do your best and forget the rest. Now, I used to be, not, trust me, I'm very goal-oriented, I'm very strategic, but I'm also perfectionist. On how I look and how I walk and how I talk and how my car looks and how everything, am I? I am. I know I am. And one of the things I had to learn to do for myself was loosen up just a little bit. Really. Because if I put 10 goals down and I got 7 done, I called it a failure. Because I'd be weighing in those 3 things I didn't get done and not seeing that I got 7 things done. As opposed to not having a goal or any plan at all and getting nothing done. So I gauge my success based on how far I moved forward that year. I set high goals to move really far, but if I only move halfway, that's okay. I'll reassess, and as long as my is still ticking, I'll put some more stuff on the plate and go next year. Does that make sense? Yes. I am not using a mic. I'm sorry. Any other questions or comments about that? Yes, sir, in the back. Gray area. So anytime, you know, there's only so much that I know, and I hope I'm going to target your question. For anything that's gray, I figure there's somebody that knows something about what I want to go do, and I cold call people. I mean, you don't have to know me, and I don't have to know you, but if I think this is important for me in my career, and I have a gray, and I don't know what I need to do, and I've researched the world, and I found you're the person that can help me out, you're getting a call or an email from me. And I've done that. I've reached out to senior higher ed IT leaders that are at this conference. Some of them are on the board. I did that the first year I was in higher ed. And some responded, some didn't. And then I did it again the next year, and I did it again the next year. And every one of them I meet, I ask questions of them. Okay, here's what I'm thinking now. What do you think? I don't know about this. What do you think? So I think be willing to put yourself out there and ask questions is what I would do. Does that help? Okay. Anybody else before we move on? Yes. All these things here I have for 3 to 5 years. Not all of them are going to get done. I'm being realistic. And there's some stuff that's not on there. I will say that right in the middle, done. Edge College Management faculty, I just got picked up for that recently. So I feel fortunate with that. I want to push hard to get a regional conference committee chair if I can, and hopefully one day I'll be fortunate to attend the Fry Leadership Institute. But there's other things that I don't have in a plan. There are things I want to do at Pima, and there's things I want to do in my personal life. But that's how I do. I actually sit down at the last 3 months of the year and write all these things down, and then I lay out a plan for next year, and then the next year, and the next year. I know it's boring, and hopefully I'm not boring you too much. We're good? All right. After that, work your plan. I love putting quotes in there. I love quotes. I hope everybody's not offended by Colin Powell's quote, but I like it. It's really simple. Work your plan. Now that you've done all the work to figure out who you are, what you're deficient in, what you need to do, you've laid out a map to get there, work it like you have, like it's air you want to breathe, water you need to drink. Don't let anybody deter you in your goals. And I'm going to share something with you, and I hope my wife doesn't mind too much, but the last 15 months, there was 15 months in my life during those 3 years that I was fortunate to earn where I'm at now, that my plan got thrown way out of whack. My daughter tore ACL, and she was an up-and-coming volleyball athlete. My dad got sick, then he passed away. My wife got extremely sick and almost passed away. And I tell you what, I didn't look at, I didn't care about what was up there. I didn't even do any of that. My daughter recovered. She's off in college, bless her. My dad passed and we did everything we could for him. My wife went through rehabilitation and she's well now and I have her by my side, so I'm thankful of that. Yeah. And it was what my old man used to say, now I can get back on my plan because I know where I left off. I knew what I wanted to do. I knew where I was at. And now I can pick it right back up and keep going. Good? Okay. So now we're going to change it. That's it for aspiring leaders. That's this Mac's golden nuggets in a nutshell. If you have some more questions, please ask me now. Yes, sir. Well, I read like the Dickens. I do. And I have made it a point. One of the things I did when I first came in was there was like 15 to 25 CIOs that I wanted to meet or talk to. And I think I've met or talked to probably 10 of them already. I've connected with them on LinkedIn. I've connected with them on Twitter. I email them and ask them questions. I stay in touch with them because I figure they're at the forefront and they know what's coming. Matter of fact, I ran into a couple just 2 hours ago, and we talked for 30 minutes in the hallway, and they gave me some words of wisdom at that time. So I say be bold, ask questions, read, study. That's one thing I did starting when I was a young man, probably about 24 years old. I made it a point to become a student of leadership, so I read everything I can. Right now, I'm really into John Maxwell. I just read a book, Everybody Communicates But Few Connect, and learned a lot through reading that. So I try to read a wide variety of books on leadership. Any other questions from aspiring leaders? Yes, sir.
Why do you want to be a CIO?
Why do I want to be a CIO? I wanted to be a... Okay, so we'll have to go back. I was trying to keep this a very non-military discussion, but let's go back. So Mac's a young man. He's floundering. He flunks out of college, flunks out of another college. Dad says, you're going to join the Air Force. Yes, sir, Dad. I joined the Air Force, and I'm still not knowing what the heck I want to do with my life. The Air Force picked communications for me. Okay, I'll do that. I'm doing communications, and the more I do, the more I find I like it. And it evolved into IT. The more I did, the more I found I like it. And then the more I did, the more bosses saw things in me that I didn't see in myself, and they put me in leadership roles. So what I found, what I think my strengths are communicating with people, connecting with people, supervising people, leading people, and the best place to do that, to control, you know, is at the highest level. Why would I not want to be at the highest level? And I think I have knowledge that I can impart and help grow people coming up from behind me. Is that okay? Pardon me? Well, you know what? See, now you went beyond my 5-year plan. See, I thought I had that hidden, man. Yes, we've got a question from online, I think.
Yes, from the online audience, actually one of your IT staff.
I was going to say, no questions from Pima Community College.
I'm sorry.
Tell them I'll be back. Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to ask anyway. They want to know if your PhD is going to be more on the management side or on the technical IT side.
I'm still trying to figure that out. As you asked earlier, I've been trying to talk with a lot of CIOs about what they think would be the best recommendation there. If I know I want to stay in higher ed, when I was retiring from the Air Force, I got an MBA. to make myself as versatile as possible depending on what industry I went into. And you guys heard the story how I came into higher education. Now that I'm in higher education, I have a passion for it. I want to do well in it. So I think I want to get a PhD or an EdD that has something to do with higher education. I'm not quite sure, but I know I need to be sure of it before I start on the journey so I can make sure I can complete it. Hopefully I asked a question. No more questions from Pima. Okay. They, and you know what's funny, all the people at Pima already know the answer. So any other questions? Okay. Residing leaders. Who are residing leaders in the room? Okay. I'm going to really change the tune for you guys. Okay. Now, I consider myself an aspiring leader, but I also consider myself a residing leader. So I'm going to start with this for you guys. I'll let you get some time to read that. It's taken from my ECAR study. So everybody gets the gist of what I'm trying to say or where I'm going to go here. I think, to me, the relationship of a supervisor or a leader with their peers has a lot, with their subordinate has a lot to do with how they grow, their willingness to grow, where they grow to, how inspired they are to grow. Nobody cares about me, so whatever. Do you know what I mean? These are the things I think that we should do as residing leaders. We should get to know our staff, we should provide them opportunities and challenges, and then encourage and support and give feedback. Simple as that. But let's talk a little bit about those deeply. So for get to know your staff, as I told you, I'm a John Maxwell fan, and one of the things Maxwell said in his last book that I just read was that more than 90% of all connecting occurs one-on-one. And it's something I had to learn. It's something I started doing when I was in the military, but I really always have to work on this because I'm a very quiet person by nature, believe it or not. But if you get me jazzed up about a subject, I can talk your ear off, so be ready for that too. But I think, you know, when you're one-on-one with a person and you set out and you carve out time to speak with them about their professional development on a regular basis, and I do this with my direct reports, and I think Cindy does it with her direct reports on a biweekly basis for about 45 minutes to an hour, you really get to know that person. They get to really know you. And I believe that once people know that you care about them, they'll be more apt to willing to share their hopes and their dreams and what they aspire to do, and you can help them get there. So, you know, I'll give you a couple examples. I had one person on my staff, and I'm going to try to do this since Pima's watching, generically, if I can. Of one person on my staff, when I first got to Pima, when I did my one-on-ones with them, they said that they don't like IT. They don't even want to work in IT, which was like, whoa, what? Really? Why are you doing it? Well, you know, they're doing what they have to do to make, you know, ends meet. So I found out what that person really wants to do. So a lot of our dialogue when we see each other is about where they want to go. Not anything about IT, but where they want to go. I've also seen that other people want to go a different track within IT. I'm willing to help them do that, even if that means leaving me to go somewhere else. I don't want to hold on to my superstar just because I want to keep my superstar. If they have an aspiration to go to X and I want to go to Y, let me help you get to X, because you'll be happy. And I think the people that are behind watching that go, Mac will do whatever he needs to do to help his people, regardless if it's good for Pima or him, but more it's good for me. So I think residing leaders need to do more of that. Care more, connect more, communicate with them more. Let them get to know you and you get to know them. Questions about that? Come on, aspiring leaders. I mean, challenge these guys. Any questions, anybody? Okay. Opportunities and challenges. These are two higher education CIOs right here. This is their quote. Some of you may know who they are. So one of the things I was fortunate to do, like my boss gave me, I just recently, before I moved into the role that I'm in, put me in charge of our LMS replacement project, which was a huge teaching and learning. Most of you know what LMS is. And I had to work with faculty closely for the first time. And I'd heard all these stories about how difficult they were to work with, but at the end of the day, I knew they were just people. So what I wanted to do was really learn and work with them. I learned a great deal, and that was a challenge for me, and I grew so much. So I guess for me is the more growth, the most growth I've ever had in my career has been when somebody has pushed me in front of something challenging that pushed me beyond what I had been normally accustomed to doing. It's sort of like working out with weights. If I work out with 25-pound weights for 6 months in a row, 25 pounds is going to sound really easy, right? If I really want to grow my muscle or I really want to run faster, I got to put more weight or train harder in some kind of way. And I think it's the same way with growth in your professional career. Okay?
I have a question.
Yes, sir?
Yeah.
That's a really wide open question, but let me tell you how I do it. In my one-on-ones, I talk with the staff about different things that I think they can do and things we can do together. And anything we come to an agreement on, right? If they fail, I own up on the agreement as well. So if they fail, I fail. I try to help them get to where they want to go. And I want them to know they have the latitude to fail, because I know back in my career as I move forward, if every time I had to endeavor in something, I knew it was 100%, I could not fail, it would inhibit me, I believe. I don't mind taking risks, but my wife will tell you I'm a really, you know, bird in the hand type of guy. But I will take that risk if I know I have room to fail. Now, there are some projects that are certain things you're going to endeavor on that you really don't have much room for failure, okay? But where you can, try to grow your people with small opportunities where failures are not going to impact that many people, or that it's not going to impact the college or institution that you're at. But it does allow them to learn, because they can learn from their mistakes just as well as they can from their successes. Does that help you? Okay. Yes, sir. Marty, I was waiting for you.
I've been holding back.
All right.
Hey, you talked about challenging the minor leaders.
Yes.
And your quote there leads me, and the item, a lot of leaders, it seems, to us worker bees, us lower-level, us aspiring leaders, that they give us these challenging stretch goals.
Yep.
They don't understand the purpose is, as you mentioned, to grow your people, to care about your people.
Mm-hmm.
So us workers look at it as, well, you gave me a stretch goal, but you don't really care about me. It's just a waste of my time. It's a game.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the quote, if you make sure they understand. So how do you let your people know why you're giving them these stretch goals and why you're giving them these challenges? And what can you tell these deciding leaders about not using it as a tool,
mm-hmm.
but to use it because it's from the heart?
Well, like I said, the first thing you want to do, it's almost, and it's going to be hard because if you already have relationships with people, you got to really work hard if the relationship isn't right to re-gauge that relationship. But for me, when I first started at Pima, I really wanted to just start the first 90 to 120 days connecting with folks, getting to know them and letting them get to know me. Once I found out who they were, how they worked, what they shared about me, what they shared with me about what they thought their deficiencies were. Once I found out where we were going and what we could do, I tried to make sure I marry that up with them. But I already started my relationship. And then when I do assign that to them and I say, here, I will explain it to them, here's why. I think this will be beneficial to you because, and I'm going to support you because, and I'm confident you'll get this done because. Does that answer your question, Marty? Just to the residing leaders. Who's a CIO in the room? Any CIOs in the room? What are your thoughts about that? All right, so to kind of recap, he said, you think we should succeed, but we should try to succeed all the time. We should try to exclude failure.
No, don't exclude failure. I don't think you're setting people up in a situation where
No. What? Now you're getting to know Marty. Marty's my friend, so I could say that, right? It definitely is. I mean, I don't want to set somebody up for failure ever, but I do want to figure out a way to make you come out of your comfort zone. I think growth, that's where growth happens. That's where leadership, that's where you get your leadership muscles, right? If everything stayed in your comfort zone, you're really not being a leader. As Seth Godin talked about, we got to be out on the edge, right? We have to be willing to do those things that are uncomfortable, uneasy. So I would think that as a young person or a young person aspiring to come up, you need to get comfortable with that. Because I think the only difference to me that I learned in the military about leadership from a young guy to an older guy was just scope of responsibility and the impact of what I did. You know, what I've learned to use for leadership when I was a young NCO in the Air Force and what I use now at Pima are similar tools. The only difference is the higher up I go, the more impact and breadth of responsibility I have. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah, you bet. Yeah, so basically, I wouldn't give my 10-year-old daughter the keys to my car and say, go to school. Yeah, but maybe it's 16, 17. No, I wouldn't do it either. But I mean, I love my daughter, so don't get me wrong. I agree with what you said, and I should have said earlier that I believe in giving people small, medium, and large type opportunities. And another thing you can do is if you want to help them, just give them exposure sometimes. So get a young person that, say, is not a really good communicator to go hang out with somebody on your team that is a good communicator so they can see how they communicate with folks. I've had a lot of opportunities that way. So like I said, every opportunity is to go to school on something. Right now I'm going to school on what you guys are telling me. But give people opportunities in a small, medium, or large. Yes, ma'am. You know what I probably should do? People should go to the mic, I guess. Because there are some online people who can't hear the question. Yes, I will, ma'am. If you don't mind.
I think a lot of what you say, Mac, makes sense, and you know, it's something I try to do in my own role. Sorry, I'm from Wales and have a Welsh accent, so I hope you can understand me. I'm having enough difficulty sometimes understanding some of you, but I will admit. The issue I had with one chap was you could actually see the potential losing out of him, but he was very comfortable in his sort of confined role. And what I did over a period of time was start giving him some extra responsibilities.
Great.
But be there as his mentor through that and help him succeed with them. And as each success game was to add to that, and he's now actually a member of my executive team. And one of the things that I'm doing to help him go further, so if I'm not in the equation one day, that he can aspire to my role, is to... where across the university I might be asked to be involved in broader committees is actually put him forward sometimes and say, well, actually, I don't have time for this, but have you thought about using X? Because actually he could bring a different perspective. And he's actually beginning to fly at that. But one of his colleagues was sort of the exact opposite, whereas he wanted to fly and not without any support. And sometimes he would actually come a cropper as a result of that. And it's a cropper, an American saying, he would sort of fail. he would sort of fall flat in his face as a result of some of that. And it was actually working with him in the opposite way to actually say to him, it's not shameful to ask for help and to look for support. And actually, what you've done is really good. But actually, if you'd broadened it out, because he was one of these people, or has been, and he's changing now, is like knowledge is power, so didn't want to share anything. But actually it meant then that if things went awry, nobody knew, and he was sort of treading water desperately, paddling beneath the surface and trying to look as if everything was okay. And it's understanding different people's different personalities, different capabilities, and trying to work with them. And I won't kid you, it really is hard work, but believe me, it's well worth it in the end.
Yeah, thank you for your comments. I totally agree with what you're saying. You hit on one point about, and our boss, Kirk Kelly, was really good for that. One person as a CIO, whenever he had some initiative come down, he was really good, and I think Cindy will test her this, they're saying, okay, I'm going to put Mac on this, or I'm going to name some names, Brian on this, or Scott on this. So he would put different people on there to allow them to get that exposure and do things. Any questions along that line? Feedback, encouragement, and support. To me, you know, just as, you know, this kind of closes the gap. So get to know your staff, be sincere, truly care. And some of you have probably had supervisors that kind of mailed it in on the caring or didn't seem sincere. So you didn't ever feel connected and you never had that trust. And I think that damages the relationship and it hurts the way people can grow. So make sure that, you know, once you get to know your staff on one end, make sure you give encouragement and feedback along the way, like what you were saying, as they do things in the small things, really say, hey, great job, you did a good job. So that reinforces their confidence that, okay, I got this and I can go to the next level. Don't let it go unappreciated. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay. You guys are looking for some golden nuggets. So EDUCAUSE was talking to me about not only from a perspective as a leader, but in the community. And I saw this quote and I thought, wow, that's exactly what I thought. And it was good to find this quote. That as a community of higher ed IT, we as a community that are in a residing leadership role, it is our responsibility. We can't shirk it. We can't run from it. We must actively, proactively grow the next generation of leaders. It should be in your personal action plan to identify two or three people on your staff who may not even know they have the potential to be a future IT leader, and then put them in the position to help them grow. Wherever they are, start them right where they are and move them forward. It's our responsibility. I have two identified, and everything I can do to help them move forward, I am. When I meet a new CIO, as soon as I can get a chance to introduce them to one of my staff, I do, to bridge that gap. If I'm out there, it's a connectedness, and we need to do that for our staff. Anybody have any thoughts about this quote? I know you do, Marty, but you're being quiet.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
No Pima questions, I said.
No, from Pepperdine.
Is that? Okay.
Okay. In creating opportunities to further develop staff, how much of a coach do you serve as along the way?
How much of a coach? If I have direct supervision, I have 100% responsibility as the coach. But coach doesn't mean I do all the work. I'm just there to help instruct, help guide, help motivate. If I don't have direct supervision, I try to get them, I can talk to them kind of as a mentor maybe, and then I try to push them to their supervisor, but I'm there to help them if they need help. But ultimately, I think people move forward. It's their responsibility to, as I spoke to the aspiring leaders, to develop their own action plan. This is going to sound harsh, but I think nobody's going to care about you as much as you. You know what I mean? And I know where I want to go. Do you know where you want to go as an aspiring leader? So ask yourself that question. Do you know where you want to go? Once you know where you want to go, do you know how to get there? Who do you need to have with you to take you? Who do you need to help you get to where you need to go? So I'm going to leave, you know, this is pretty short, but this is something I want to close with. As you guys are reading that, I'm going to leave the aspiring leaders with one statement and one question, and I'm going to leave the residing leaders with one statement and one question. So the aspiring leaders, remember, what you do today determines who you'll be tomorrow. Don't get up and in 5 years expect something magical to happen if you haven't done the planning and done the work now. Okay? Where do you want to be in 5 years? That's your question. For the residing leaders, remember to believe in your staff. This is something I try to do. I try to put a 10, 1 to 10, put a 10 on everybody's forehead because that's their potential. And help them get there. And what is your leadership legacy? What have you done to grow the community of IT and higher ed? Okay. That is really all my golden nuggets right there. I can talk to you a lot more personally, but in 45 minutes, it's hard to go deep in all my beliefs of what we should do as a community, what you can do personally. But I'd love to talk to you individually. If you want to hit me up with emails afterwards, you want to talk to me, I'd love to talk to you. Professional development is my gig. I love talking about it. Don't ascend it. So anything I can do to help people out, I will do. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
I had a question from Adam State College. What kind of advice would you give to non-military IT leaders on how they can better relate to IT staff with military experience?
Oh, okay. He worried me at the beginning. I was like, I thought I was talking that way right now. Well, one thing to know that there's a structure to the military, and Marty, you can help weigh in on this for me, okay? There's a structure. We get indoctrinated, basic training about, you know, of how we relate to each other, ranks, the brother and sister of arms, and there's a camaraderie there, a connectedness. We grow our professionals, and I guess what I found when I came to higher ed, there wasn't that specific structure, right? Now, I knew that coming in. So I had to work what I had learned and what I know into what I was going into. But if I had a young guy coming in right now, I would try to do my best to put him in all the things we talked about here, put him in places so he can learn as much about the higher ed culture and learn about IT within higher ed. But I really don't think, if you're doing really good leadership and supervision, I think a person in the military will follow that. What do you think, Marty? No, but please do, Marty. Marty was former Air Force, too, so.
I totally agree. I went from enlisted to officer like you did, Mac. You didn't get to officer because you did better than me.
Yeah.
I couldn't get to tech sergeant, so it was easy to become a lieutenant. I would agree with you 100%, and I would add one thing for you, and then add it to your slides.
Okay.
You say know your staff. You say X, Y, and Z afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say know your staff, grow your staff, love your staff.
Yes, sir.
You treat your staff like you do your children. You show them tough love.
I do.
You care about them.
I do.
Sincerely.
I do.
And if you have to kick them out the door, you kick them out the door.
Yeah, I've had some private military conversations with my staff.
Thank you. And so the nice thing about a military person.
With love.
That's right. We expect that. We expect that tough love.
Right.
We expect you to care.
Right. But it wasn't derogatory. It was more along the lines that I know they can do better and they can grow. And this is where I really expect them to be. And that's what I think we should do.
Yes. Totally agree. And that's the difference. When you deal with military, ex-military, we've been a brotherhood forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
We care about each other. We'll die for each other.
Mm-hmm.
That takes love. I got to feel that my CIO, my leader, cares about me. I talk about it, the little bit I talk about it is that we keep telling people that our greatest asset is our
people,
and then we don't really act like it, do
That's
we?
True. That's true. Okay, well, that really comes to the end of what I was going to talk about. And I know you guys have a lot of questions, and I wish I could field all of them. And I was really worried that I was going to be able to impart some kind of knowledge. I walked around the room earlier, and I think people were waiting for some type of silver bullet. I don't have a silver bullet, but I do have thoughts and ideas about leadership. If you have questions specifically that I didn't cover, please come talk to me. I'd love to share my thoughts with you. Okay. Thank you for coming.